The message this morning is entitled Shine On. Shine On. As we start Missions Month, next week is the actual kind of real beginning of our Missions Month. But with our theme this year of Love Does Absolutely, we wanted to take this Sunday morning and have some fun and celebrate with the our cultural NFL game and all of that. And all that goes into it. But realize that there is something that is absolutely necessary for the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, and that is this. We must let our light shine. The world, church, the world, you don't need me to tell you this. We just had the president's State of the Union address on Tuesday. You hear the radio, you listen, you see that we have a confused world. Amen? Would anybody debate that? There is confusion. And there is only one thing that dispels the confusion. And that's for someone to turn on the light and reveal which way to go. Now, that's a little simplistic. Because when Jesus came to the earth, the light of the world, God in flesh, people still didn't buy it. But he sent us, filled us so that we might be his light. Light, it illuminates, it carries information, it warms, it penetrates, it reveals. Some people, when they talk about realizing something, they'll say, you know, the light turned on. Or, I see now. I was once unable to in the dark. Practically, if you want to avoid injury in your home, you turn on the light so you don't smash your shin against the table or you know, do something crazy at nighttime. Unless, of course, you're watching a grade B movie, in which case they never turn on the light when the werewolf is coming. I don't understand why they do that. Turn on the light, you'd be just fine. They never turn on the light so that the suspense and the fear and all that will continue on. When people give us those aha moments, we speak of being enlightened, and we might even call those people that turn the light on for us, we might call them stars. There is light, but we need a different kind of light in our world. We need a light that is real, a light that is true, a light that is above all other pseudo lights. And the scripture tells us what that light is. If you read with me in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, read this along with me, would you? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus said that to a crowd of people, some of the first words on the sermon in the Sermon on the Mount. The light, church, is not a celebrity. The light is not a politician. The light is not a sports figure. The light is not a scientist. The light is not a philosopher. The light is not a professor. The light is not a king or a queen. The light is one person, and that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has taken up residence inside of us so that the light that is living in us has now made us light as well. We are the light of the world, and together a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That light is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about that light. Jesus is the light of the world. There is no other light. Say, well, I see the sun, I see the stars, I see the moon. Let me say it again. Those are just cheap reflections of the light. A creation by the light. But Jesus is the true light. Let me read you some verses. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 will help us a little bit. It reads this way. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That verse is power-packed. Some think, well, where was Jesus in the beginning? Jesus is God. Jesus was creating. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We use the word, I mentioned already, enlightenment, to describe an experience of understanding. If you notice how many people today claim to be enlightened, They know when nobody else knows. An enlightened person says, I know the way, and everybody else who's not enlightened, they call blind. Strangely though, the ones that the enlightened ones call blind, that group of people think they're enlightened, and they think the previous enlightened are blind. Everybody thinks everybody else is blind because they all think they're enlightened. And that's what happens when the book of Judges says that everyone does what is right in their own mind. Everybody thinks they're the ones that know the way. They're the ones that have enlightenment. And everybody else doesn't know the way. You know what? We're just a bunch of confused people. There's one light, and his name is Jesus. We may not see all people recognizing this Jesus. We may not see nations bowing down to this Jesus. But don't be mistaken. He is the light. And there will be a day when all nations, all people, all languages, all kings, all royalty will bow down and acknowledge, rather, or acknowledge either in resistance or acknowledge in praise that there is one light. And that's our Lord and our Savior. How we decide who's really enlightened usually is by who's the strongest, who has more money, or who has more votes. And usually those three go together. That's how we decide who's really right. That's not the way God decides. God decided who was right by going to a cross, giving his life, and then 3 days later coming out of the grave. I've not yet met a politician who can claim that on his resume. You think that would win some votes? I raised the economy. I solved the immigration problem. Oh, I rose from the dead. But yet people still refuse to believe. The Bible says there is a better way. In the beginning, God said, or the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the first words he said were, let there be light. And he separated the light from the darkness. And the light from the darkness is separate from then until we meet Jesus face to face, both literally in a scientific way and spiritually. That light and dark don't mix. You can't have them coexist. The light is alive, church. The light is alive. The light is not some figment, some scientific property. The light is alive. He has a name. And in his life, he is approachable. He is knowable. And he is lovable. And it baffles me in my mind that if there is such a concept, if there is such a person in the world that exists, that is God, and he is the light, he knows the past, present, and future, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere present, and he is approachable, knowable, and lovable, why wouldn't we even make an attempt to get to know him? To see if that were true. But yet most of the people in our world just dismiss him. I'm thankful for us here today. We're sitting here instead of doing something different because there's something in us by the power of the Holy Spirit that has clicked inside of us that we wanted to know. Remember that day before you knew? Think back. Remember that day when you thought you knew everything? You thought you were enlightened, but then something went click and it was the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you and you went, wait a minute. I need him. And when you reached out and he met you and he took you to himself, you realized, I thought I was enlightened all that time. When now I realize I didn't have a slightest idea what I was thinking. Now I know. And not because I know, but because of him. You remember that day? That's what God does in it, because he's alive. He's knowable. If you want to know what is true, Jesus. If you want to know what is right, Jesus. If you want to know which direction to go, Jesus. If you want to know how to make sense out of this world, Jesus. Because he's alive. Not only is he alive, but he is the Word. Where do we find out about this? Is it some mystical thing? God in his wisdom gave us the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word he put in print for us. so that we could look inside here and we could read principles and read truths and read promises, and we can read God's love letter to us. God's in its entirety a biography, but what we needed to know, He's presented this to us so that we would have no doubts. And here's what I know. Many people that have said the Word of God is false, it's man's word, it's somebody's idea, it's some just religious nonsense, it's fallible, it's inaccurate. Those people have long since passed away. Now there's a new generation doing the same thing, and they'll pass away. And you know what will remain? God's Word. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, the Bible says, but the Word of God will remain forever. And it's true. Amen. Because the light is the Word. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Word. The Word is given to us that we can know it. Church, I know that there are many people and that there are many who would want to refute the Word, and you read things in your journals or learn something in your science classes if you're a student, and you get a little bit confused because it doesn't agree with what you see in God's Word. Can I just tell you, do this for me. Do this for yourself. Trust God's Word. Man's Word will change, I guarantee you. Every decade or so, what was absolutely fact is no longer fact because you got some new evidence. But God's Word remains true. It will always be reliable in every part of your life. You want to know how to have a great marriage? God's Word. You want to know how to manage your finances? God's Word. You want to know how to stay healthy? God's Word. You want to know how to be a great employer and have success in your business? God's Word. You can find everything in God's Word, practically and supernaturally, right here. It's in God's Word. We follow His Word. Jesus is the light, and the light is alive. The light is the Word, and the light is life. The light is life itself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. Many people think they're living the life. Or at least when they go to some tropical vacation, they say, oh, now I'm living the life. This is living. I ain't living, that's surviving. The Bible says this in the book of 2 Corinthians. It says that we live a mortality, and that life has swallowed up mortality. Isn't that powerful? Listen, if you're here today and life is kind of tough, well, okay, it does. It gets tough. But this is just mortality. It's not living yet. Someday we're going to be living. But it's because of the light. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the light. He is life, and He's misunderstood. Though the light shines, it's not understood. People don't get it. They don't understand why we spend our Sundays here, why we do our small groups, and why we give, and why we sacrifice, and why we attempt to love others. I mean, does it really make sense that why would we follow some faith that says, give your life to save it? If you want your finances to be healthy, give them away. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Does that make sense? Well, to a world that doesn't understand the light, it doesn't make sense. But to a God who designed everything the way it should be and the way it should work, the God who is life, the God who is light, the God who is the Word, that makes sense. And when we follow His way, you find that you're no longer in the dark, that you're light as well, because you know the light.
Good morning. For any 49ers fans today, you know, in the spirit of shining the light, you know, Bible did say we should mourn with those who mourn. So this is just, you know, to connect. You know, Pastor Greg painted a picture of that dark room where people are stumbling across, you know, they're hitting their shin. Just imagine that in that room are your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues. The light needs to come in. The light is Jesus. But the Bible tells us that we are also the light of the world. So who do they need to come in there to bring that light? It's us. And this is not something we made up. Jesus said it. He said it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. If you recall, beginning from chapter 2, The Bible records, and he started to teach them, saying, what was he teaching them? So not only does the Bible, the Word of God, show us that God is light. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. It shows us that Jesus is the light that came into the world. But the Word of God also shows us that we are also the light of the world. Jesus goes the next step, and he shows us what this light looks like. Before that, he said, shine your light. In the context of the Sermon on the Mount, before he said in verse 14, you are the light of the world, he started to say things like, blessed are the gentle, the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, the children of God. What does he tell us in John chapter 1, verse 12? But as many as have received him, to them has he given the right to be called the children of God. So if God is light, and his Son who is light came into this world, and we have now been given the right to become the children of God, we also are lights. So in that dark room, it is us that they're looking forward to. It is us that need to show up, because it is us that bring Jesus. And we bring Jesus many ways, but some of them are what you've seen. When Jesus says, blessed are the gentle. When you're gentle, you bring Jesus. People see it. Because Jesus himself is gentle. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful. When you're merciful, you bring Jesus. Because Jesus himself is merciful. Remember that woman? They wanted to stone her. The prostitute lady. But Jesus was gentle. He just wrote on the ground and he said, well, if you're without sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible records that he started to leave one by one. He was merciful to her. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, the sons of God. When we are peacemakers, when we broke our peace, we also show ourselves children of God, but we also shine the light. Mercy is not something that the world actually recognizes. If you think about it, the world goes by the tit-for-tat rules. I mean, they did it first to me, so I'll do it too. Nobody would fault with that. If you watch the news sometime, no matter, regardless of where you are, depending on where you are on the political spectrum, oh, they did it first, so let's do it back. You're rooting for your side to do it back. The Democrats are saying, well, the Republicans shut down the government then. Let them shut it now down. And then you ask yourself the question, well, if you didn't like it when they shut it down then, why is it good now? Because your side is shutting it down. Mercy is what the Bible says to show. Jesus really is saying, look, I've come to show you how to live by a different set of principles. A different set of principles. Jesus said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I say to you, if someone slaps you, turn to them the other cheek. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I say to you, if someone forces you to go a mile with them, go with them 2 miles. If someone sues you to take your shirt, tell them, hey, brother, you know, instead of fighting this thing with you in court, how about I give you my coat as well? You know, it's cold outside. You know, you need to keep warm. Do it in love, not in spite. Jesus came to show us a different way to live. He was saying to us, I want you to live by a different set of principles. I'll give an example. Last week, a friend of mine did something, and I wanted to correct him. So I raised my voice a bit. That was not good. That was not gentle. That was not gentle. And it wasn't malice. I just wanted to express it. But then up until this morning, I'm still sending texts to say, hey, you're my brother. I love you. I want us to reconnect. I'm still trying to win that relationship that we built over the years. Because I failed to be gentle just one time. So these things are for us to live by every day. I want to tell you a story, and then I want to do a short interview. A
couple years ago, we were trying to buy a house. Something happened. Now, this last week, somebody else that I consider a very good friend, he lost his brother. I saw it on Facebook. I condoled him. Didn't tell him, but I showed up last Saturday for the funeral. He saw me, and he was so filled with joy and grateful that I showed up. I showed up because I consider him a friend now, because we have a relationship. I called him again on Wednesday to say, "You back home? How are things?" And he was so happy. And he asked me about my Nigerian friends, and I told him, and I said, "By the way, I just started a book study with them. Next time you're in town on Thursday, show up." And he said, "I will, and I'm going to buy that book." That's last week. Now, 2 years ago, it could have gone very differently, because this guy, I got to know him then because he was my loan officer for buying a house. He gave me, very competent guy, but it was this information that he gave me that wasn't accurate. And because that information wasn't accurate, a few days to closing, something happened. On a Friday, just before I was going home, we found out that there was some information he gave, and because of that, we had to go move mountains to see if this could work. We did move mountains that weekend, and on Monday, we were back on track. But on Wednesday, we found out there was something else he told us. This is closing day. And now, we were not going to get the house. We were not going to get the loan. It wasn't going to happen. My wife would tell you, I don't easily get stressed. And especially not about money. This was going to cost us about $48,000 just down the toilet. I don't get stressed about money, but I was stressed because we were not going to get that house. I was stressed because I had to look my kids in the eye and say, "Kids, you know that house that you're so excited about that we went to and you guys jumped around that we all believe God gave us? Well, we're not getting it anymore." I was so stressed. I went out to lunch with my colleague. My colleague was like, "Julius, I've never seen you this stressed." He was encouraging me. I got back to lunch. I had spoken to my wife and I spoke to my real estate agent, not to the loan guy, because all these things were revealed by an email. I was in a lunchroom and something beautiful happened. I wouldn't say magical. I'll say something miraculous happened. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it reminded me of a scripture that he had used in the past to encourage us through a hard time. And that changed everything. Because what the Holy Spirit did for me was he took this thing and said, "Julius, yes, you have to call it what it is. It's a hardship. It's a trial. It's a suffering. But when you now take it and you put it in the context of that scripture, you're able to handle it. There's no longer confusion. There is light. The Word of God brought light. I was able to call it what it was." And then put it in the context of Romans chapter 1, chapter 5 from verse 1 to 5, I was able to look at it, and the Bible says, "And we rejoice in our suffering." It says, we rejoice in the glory of God, but not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope, and the hope will not disappoint us. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's what the Bible says. And as soon as that came, it brought clarity. And believe it or not, I was rejoicing. I called my wife. I said, "Honey, I got some exciting news." She was thinking I was probably calling her to say we got the loan. And I said, no. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. See what he said. And she was rejoicing with me. I called my real estate guy, who's also my friend. And I said, "Hey, I got some news." And I told them both that this is how I'm going to deal with this guy when I speak with him. With grace and love. Even though we're going to lose the house. And almost $50,000. I got in my car. I was driving home. While I was still on the phone with my real estate guy, someone called me. It was a loan guy. And I said, "I got to take this call." I picked up that call and I said, "Hey, my friend, you are making my life so miserable, man. I'm going to lose almost $50,000 because of you." But when I said it like this. And he was still struggling because we haven't spoken yet when all this things broke. He was struggling to get out. "Julius, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And I said, "Yeah, your apology is accepted. But it's okay. What shall we do?" Long story short, we didn't lose the house. We got the house, and I didn't lose that extra $30,000. Well, the $18,000, that's another story. But we got the house. But because of that, I won a friend forever, And last week, I was able to go to his brother's funeral, and we're able to have the conversations that we have. And hopefully one day he's going to come and join me and my Nigerian friends for Bible study. I want to give you another example of how to shine the light. I want to call Audrey and Kyle. Morning, guys. Excellent. So I've got a couple questions for you guys. So Kyle, you're going to go first. So when you and I spoke, you shared about the things that attracted you to Audrey. Can you share a little bit with us how she brought that light into your life?
Well, just look at her first. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But just knowing Audrey and just working at Phil's, I'd see her almost every day. She'd be in there doing homework and whatnot, and she'd come up to my bar when I was making coffee, and just she had this genuine joy that I didn't see in anyone else I've ever met. And just getting to know her and just her kindness about her and just her manner and how she handled situations and just all that, it just intrigued me. And I was like, what is so special? Like, why is she like this? I didn't understand. And it took me a long time to figure it out. But, you know, eventually she shared that, you know, she acts this way or she is this way because of Jesus. And I looked at her like she's crazy. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I didn't know back then. But, you know, the more I spent time with her, the more I learned that it was Jesus, the joy in her and the kindness and all these cool, these amazing attributes about her. And then it really changed when I met her parents, Greg and Sandra. She had left and gone to school, and I had come to church once, I think. So the next time she left, so I was like here by myself, and I was like, oh, I knew Josiah and a couple other people, but you know, it was hard for me to be here alone because I was used to being with her. But then I met them, and we met a few times, and we had lunch and sat down, and they were the exact same as her. And I was like, what is with these people? Like, they're all the same. They're all happy. I don't get it. Like, I just didn't understand. And, you know, eventually I did. I got it, and it was Jesus. And just the light that came out of them was like something I'd never seen in anybody else. And it was literally amazing. And not to sound weird, but, like, you know how people say there's an aura around people? Like, I literally saw, like, light coming out of them. It was just, like, it just changed my life. And, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can clap. So, Audrey, so one thing that caught my attention was just that response that you gave, that it's Jesus in you. I wonder if you could just sort of flesh that out a little bit for us here.
Well, when I told him that it was Jesus in me, it just opened a door to kind of explain who Jesus was, of that it's not a joy that comes and goes, it's a joy that's constant, even in the suffering, that I was able to tell him, yes, it's Jesus, because I have a hope in something bigger. Like, I'm not hopeless, so I'm able to freely love, to freely give, to genuinely ask questions about other people and be interested in them because I have a hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what opened the door with him, of to tell him what Jesus has done for us and for me, and that he has given us a joy that is constant, that doesn't just come and go. Yeah.
Thank you. So don't go anywhere yet. So you guys know that next Sunday we are starting the evangelism class. I think about over 30 people have already signed up. Again, a lot of what we're going to be talking about are these things. How do we shine the light out there so that we can shine light in the darkness, so that people can be attracted to that light that is in us, that is really Jesus? Final question, and then all three of us will leave, is this. Now that you're both shining the light together, how does that feel?
Both of you.
Great. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool because both of us have come from very different backgrounds. I grew up in the church and he didn't. No. And so it's now that we both have the same joy, we get to reach so many different people that I couldn't have done by myself, mm-hmm. and that he couldn't have done by himself because of where we've come from that we can relate, and us together, just the way that we're living our life now, is a huge example to his family, to his friends who don't know Christ, mm-hmm. who have seen a change in him, of Kyle, who they knew before Christ, and now that he has the same joy as me, they're like, what's wrong with him? But they ask the question now, mm-hmm. and it's simply just by the way that we love others, mm-hmm. that it opens the door to ask the question of, why are you so happy? Why do you have joy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. And for those that aren't aware, they're married now. So the light is attractive. When we... All you single guys are going, my light's shining, baby. My light is shining. I lost my thought. Where'd it go? Oh, when Julius talks about this upcoming evangelism course, recognize Audrey's it wasn't an approach. She didn't sit at Phil's doing her work with a sign that was propped up on the desk saying, single and really happy. Or, approach me, I'm looking. Or anything like that. You see, because the light attracts because it's light. And that when we teach evangelism, when you hear that word evangelism, you say, oh, I'm going to go to Julius's class and he's going to teach me and I'm going to have to get in all kinds of embarrassing, weird situations. It's the exact opposite. That being normal in a dark world when you're light is immediately recognizable and attractive. Now, are there words that are attached? Yes. She had to begin to describe for him why she was magnetic for him. So words are attached, and some of us want to say, well, I just don't say anything. I'm just letting my light shine. And well, then they might just think you're just a really nice person, but Jesus never comes into the picture, and nobody who's nice wins anybody for eternity. So we want to help us understand how normalcy is what the power of God works through. You are the light. Or excuse me, let me go ahead. You are the light to bring glory to the light. Scriptures that we read earlier said, and let your good deeds shine, or do them before men, that you might bring glory to the Father in heaven. Back in the Old Testament, Daniel says it interestingly in Daniel chapter 3. He says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Isn't that an interesting passage? Who wants to be wise this morning? I want to be wise. If you want to be wise, Scripture says that you'll shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness, you'll be called stars. Maybe you want to, you've always dreamt, maybe you're one of these young kids that were here this morning and had their football jerseys on. They got, you know, this name on the back and that name on the back, and oh, maybe someday I'll be in the Super Bowl. Maybe someday I'll be a star. And Jesus said, no, you won't be a star. You'll be a fading glimpse, because nobody remembers what happened last year or 2 years ago. What will be remembered are those who win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for all of eternity, someone will say, because of your light, because of your word, because of your testimony, because of your love, because of your grace, because of your mercy, we are the light. Let your light shine before men. Let your light shine, the Scripture says, and you'll be called stars, the brightness of the heavens. And I think a critical error we make in the Christian life is that we think about doing the light instead of being the light. Well, we're going to go do an evangelistic outreach. Well, what has your life been between the outreaches? We're going to go to church and we're going to, you know, do all the stuff Christians do. Well, what have you been doing Monday through Saturday? Because the light is light. The light doesn't change. When Jesus came to earth, he didn't say, okay, now I've got to figure out how to be light. He just was. When it's what you are, you don't have to worry about what you do. I guarantee you, I don't wake up every morning and think to myself, now how am I going to figure out how to be a tallish, bald, white guy? I never have to give it a thought. It's who I am. Right? You following me? When it's who you are, it's who you are. And that's what your life is made up of. Now, there is an enemy and there is a flesh and there is this combat within us of the light and the dark, the flesh and the spirit and all of that. We learn about how to surrender so that the light is not commingled. And that's a big part of what Julius will teach. But church, if we can just somehow get to a place where we stop worrying about the doing and start with being. Being in His presence every day. Letting your life just marinate in the beautiful, wondrous, warm light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us might say, well, I need to just let light, more light come out of me. When the Holy Spirit came into you, He didn't come into you with a spoonful. And that the more you're a good guy or a good girl, He adds a cup. And then you do a few more good things and He adds another cup. No, when He came into you, He came in fully. You don't need more of Jesus. You need less of us. When I say less of us, we need to surrender more. And I've already jumped ahead. A couple of points. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let me just say, together, we're better than we are when we're on our own. But we need more. We don't need more light. We need more surrender. There's really only one or a few ways that the light isn't able to shine. And Jesus spoke to those when He said, you don't put a light under a bowl. You put it up on its stand. Then it helps everybody. Really, the only couple of ways I can think of that light loses its ability to affect people. One is that it gets turned off. And we are Christians today. And let me tell you, Jesus isn't going to be turned off in your life. Go ahead, try to step away from the light. Rebel. And you'll be the most miserable person ever. Here's what I know. There's one miserable person on this earth, and that's the lukewarm Christian. The Christian who wants to be in the world but wants to have Jesus at the same time. Because you got too much Jesus to enjoy the world, too much world to enjoy Jesus, you're just in trouble. Another way is to cover it up. You can throw a blanket over your light and just hide out. But Jesus still finds a way to come out. There's another way I thought. You ever tried to see a value of a flashlight at noon? Doesn't really help you much, does it? Sometimes you can't even tell if it's on. Because the brighter sunlight is brighter than the battery-powered flashlight. When we just keep ourselves together, well, we're just the church and we love each other and it's so awesome and we just have our groups and I don't have any friends who don't know Jesus. It's just us and it's great. Your light's useless. The power of light is when it's put in a dark place. That's when light is powerful. The distinction is where the power is. Folks, make friends with those who don't know Jesus. Be in places. And I'm not saying go out and carouse and get crazy. Be in the world, but not of the world, right? The light is powerful when you're in places that it's different from. And so when we divorce ourselves and separate ourselves from the dark places, we become useless. It's like, would you like some salt with your salt? It didn't change anything for me. The distinction is powerful. But we have to become less so that God's Spirit can lead us. And when I say, we surrender. Lord, it's You today. Lord, it's Your will today. Your way today. God, I want to be Yours. And as you live that normally, light shines in the darkness. And people come to repentance. Proverbs 11:30 says this, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. I want God to say, that guy's wise. Because people come to Jesus through our life. Church, this is the beginning of our missions month, but this isn't about a month. This is about life. And in a world that is highly, highly just confused, they need somebody to be the light, to show them which way to go. Husbands and wives, they need a family to look to and say, that's how you do it. That's how a family should look. That's how parents should raise kids. That's how kids should respect parents. You let your light shine. At your workplace, when everybody's cutting corners and trying to figure out a way that you could get over on the boss or show up a little late and leave a little early, the Christian works hard and honors his boss because that's what the light does. And as God then pours success into you and prosperity into you, that people can say, why is it that you people? Or as Kyle said, why is it that there's joy that I don't know about? Church, this isn't about abundant life getting better. This is about being used by God so that the South Bay can be better. And so that the Bay Area can be better. And that the world can be better. For if the church is not the light, there is no light. Today I hope that there's a degree of conviction. We got to be light wherever we are. Let your behavior, your mercy, your grace, your peace, and the rest of the Beatitudes, let those things be what draws people who are in darkness. And we turn the other cheek. We go the extra mile. We give our coat and our cloak as well. That's what we do because that's what the light does. And that's who we are. Because Jesus is the light. There are a lot of people. Some of them have been driving by our church while we've been spending this hour and a half together. And they don't know the light. Our sign out front is not the light. Our banner that says, stop by the church before the game, God, is not the light. Our marketing is not the light. We are the light. And how many people have driven by? How many people have pulled into the Whole Foods parking lot? How many people have driven by your house that live in your neighborhood, that go to work where you work, and yet they're still in darkness? They need to see light. So it's not about this church and growing this place so we can say, wow, look at us. It's about Jesus and bringing his kids home. And they can only come home if they know the way. And they can only know the way if the way is lit. And you and I are the light. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. What a sweet, wonderful, powerful time of worship and singing we had, that your spirit just seemed to move in and amongst us in such a touching way. Enjoying Olivia Carroll, her dedication, Sharon Elise is sweet and precious. A new generation of light. The power of the word and through the communion time, remembering that you are the light, and that you are in us, and what it cost you. The preaching of the word and Kyle and Audrey's testimony. God, we've enjoyed a sweet time today, but it doesn't do any good. Help us, Lord, to realize that unless we leave this place and we remain light and we don't cover it up or run away from the darkness. Help us, Lord, each day. We are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Lord, we want to be those people. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, response is good. And just the question is this. Would you be able to say with honesty in your heart, I am the light of the world? Now, you may know it theologically, but in a practical sense, Have you covered up your light? Forgive us, Lord, when we've done that. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, you move across every heart right now. Touch us, Lord. Stir us. If you can't honestly say, I have been light in a dark place, but I want to be. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. I want to win souls. Winning souls is wise. And as we go forward, we will be that to a world that is really hurting and confused. If that's you this morning saying, I don't know everything there is to know, but what I do know is that I want to be light in a dark place. Just slip up your hand and put it back down again. Yeah. Yeah, all over. All over. Yeah, sure. Sure. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's stand together. Let's praise His name. Sean, I don't know which chorus it was that we sang, but it's got a phrase in there about the light. I don't know which one it was. And I don't want to put you on the spot, or maybe he's already ready to go. If you can't find it, he'll sing the right one that the Holy Spirit wanted us to sing. But there was a phrase. I can't quite place which song. But church, today you'll be with a lot of people. Be the light where you are. Tomorrow you go to work, be the light. Maybe there'll be opportunity to speak. Maybe there won't be opportunity to speak. Wherever it is, be the light. You are the light. Just go and be. Let the Spirit of the Lord saturate you, fill you. So you're not even thinking about being the light. You just are. It's normal and natural. That's what God desires from His people. Father, we love you and we give you praise. Because you are the light and you are in us. Therefore, we are the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sean?
Let's sing this together. So,
please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Stelling Road, Cupertino, California.